The heart of the matter is that there's certainly the issue of appearances about salaries that exceed that of the president and others, but this is grounded in realistic salary evaluations that are done by OMB of the commercial marketplace, and the reason the provision is in place is to try and replicate those salary levels so we can attract the best and brightest to government business.
So $400,000 would apply to everybody and in a company. So that means some people, a few people in the average company make more. Most people make less than that. So relative to the existing cap of $800,000, what is the material difference for a company should this come to pass?
Well, one difference is that it's spread across the entire company versus where it is now, where it was at five executives. Now it's spread across the entire company, but it's at $700,000. This would reduce that to $400,000, and you're correct. Most of the employees in most companies would not reach that salary level, but for companies who do have employees that reach that level, they'll now be required to pick up a bigger portion of those salaries. And if salaries climb, you know, they'll have to look at larger and larger increments of obligations for salaries, as well as, you know, the drive to attract the best and brightest from the commercial sector to come and do business in the public sector also drives some of those salary numbers. So it's possible that those numbers would continue to increase and larger numbers of people would be impacted.
Mr. Hodgkins, how common is it for companies to be in for reimbursed compensation like this when companies are doing business with each other versus, let's say, the federal government? Is there a difference?
Well, when companies are doing business with each other, it's a commercial sector, and there's no restrictions on any salary. Companies pay the market rates for the skills they need to meet their customers' demands, and there's no restrictions or caps of this sort. And that's why you see successful, highly skilled people who have proven themselves to you know, drive innovation, for example, in our sector. They can demand higher salaries. They get higher salaries on the commercial side. And to attract that brain power into the public sector, you have to have a way to match that salary level.
So then how do you make the case for someone who believes caps are a good idea just based on the principle that this is federal money?
Well, I understand that perspective, although I have to respectfully disagree because, again, if we expect to drive or interest the best and the brightest from the commercial side of any company to come and look at work in the public sector, we have to be able to offer a competitive salary. Why would someone who can make, you know, whatever the salary range would be, perhaps the sky's the limit for somebody on the commercial side, why would they want to come in and potentially look at limiting their salary range in the public sector, knowing that they could work perhaps in the same company on the commercial side and make far more, or work for another company that didn't have government business and still make far more? It's an attempt to equal that playing field.
We're speaking with Trey Hodgkins, the Senior Vice President for National Security and Procurement Policy at Tech America. So it's unlikely that anyone, say, at, you know, any of the big contractors or not so big contractors is actually going to cut the executive salaries to match this should it pass. So what this in a practical sense means is that it will come out of their profits?
That's correct. I've not heard that anyone would have to make significant salary adjustments because if they would look to make up the difference in those salaries that they're paying now out of the profits for the companies. But in this time frame where government spending is squeezed, corporations are squeezed, the contracting opportunities are squeezed, it becomes more and more difficult to make that happen. And what I think people anticipate is that it would distort the pay scales in the public sector going forward, so that new hires, people coming into the government sector market, working for companies, might anticipate or might experience a different set of salary ranges than what they were experiencing previously when the cap was not in place.
Now, when you have a contract, I don't know, say for systems integration or for building some type of military platform, and there might be hundreds of engineers on that job, how many people are likely to be from the executives' ranks that would be allocated to that contract? Are there metrics for how much of the CEO, you know, how many times a CEO is divided among contracts or senior vice presidents and that level of person?
Well, when you get up to the highest level, they're divided over the entire business, or a portion of the business if you have multiple units, for example. But as you come down, farther down the stack, and the focus is more and more on management around that particular business unit or that particular program, you can allocate a higher percentage. So it's based on the where someone sits in the stack in the hierarchy.
And very quickly, what's the likely effect of this on what government actually spends on contracts?
Zero, actually, because even in the president's budget this year, where he restated an interest in trying to do this, they reflected no savings to the Treasury by doing this. And Congress now has had three proposals here where the CBO scored those proposals and did not identify any savings by taking this step. So we believe this is more driven by perceptions and rather than what it might actually save for the taxpayer. And we hope that it doesn't proceed.